Cool fact, a crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Also, you can get health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. UnitedHealthcare short-term insurance plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage for you. Learn more at uh1.com.
Yeah. They needed to get to work in 2 hours, so they had to conquer the planet to get some of our seawater just to recharge a bit. Yeah.
Michael Jordan drinking seawater and then passing out under a basketball hoop.
That's the closest thing to clam flavored G Fuel yet.
Lore boys, Fall of Man here, the internet's number one fake history meteor, coming at you to cause a mass extinction. I am your PlayStation 3 exclusive, Peter O'Donohue, and I am joined by...
It's me, Ethan, falling off a cliff! Because I'm a man, so it's Fall of Man.
Right.
James Miller with DualShock 2 capabilities.
Ooh, James got vibration support.
Wait, where's the other joystick?
Yeah, like, would you have to hold Jamie sideways? Or like a teddy bear, or...
I'm like an N64. There's so many ways to grip me, baby.
Jamie was made for some sort of magical person with three hands. Yeah. To hold comfortably. So, today's request for Resistance Fall of Man comes from patron Papa Bray, and was backed up by Mossy, Ninja Platypus, and Lorbonian Wizard. Lorbonian Wizard actually re-requested this today. While I was writing, she re-upped her desire. She has simped harder for Resistance, like, than when she found out that Jamie was, like, a kinky fuck freak last week, basically. And she sent us an email about it and has requested it multiple times on Discord, including, like I said, when I was, like, going over and finishing up the script this afternoon. So, this one is for you, Monica. You did it.
Yeah. First ass credit goes to Bray, but the true MVP is definitely Lorbonian Wizard.
I don't even know how many times Bray asked for it. He's just a patron, which is why he gets to go first. But yeah, exactly. The MVP for the match is absolutely Lorbonian Wizard. So thank you. Yeah. Also, another dub for the listeners. Great suggestion. Had an absolute blast putting this one together.
And I have a great knife set here if you're ever interested.
If you'd like to join any of the lovely people that I just talked about, you can join our Discord linked below, or our Patreon linked below, just like John Benj did this week.
You can join our patron John Benj in becoming a patron on Patreon.
Exactly. Thank you. Okay, good. Mm-hmm. Nice save, dude. All right, we'll just cut out all that where I stumbled over where my tongue fell out of my mouth. I dropped the spaghetti.
He gets promoted to Judge John, or Judge John Bench, right? That's his name?
Yeah.
Oh, Judge John Bench? Like he's on the bench?
In the bonus. Check it out, Judge John.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, in the bonus audio, yeah.
Check it out tomorrow, yeah.
And we did get a lot of emails. I would also like to welcome back and or thank older patrons who either resubbed or edited their pledges, which would be... I didn't write their names down. Anyway, yeah, thanks, guys.
We run a tight ship here.
Yeah, exactly. So, Resistance. Are the lads familiar with the series? Jamie, Ethan, have you played one? Have you seen one? Have you smelled one for some fucking reason?
I mean, I mentioned it to the boys here before we started the episode, but I was convinced coming into this that we'd already done one, maybe two episodes, and Pete was like, you're thinking of Killzone. I was like, oh yeah, I was thinking of Killzone. So, I don't know if I've played this one. I remember playing either Killzone or Resistance, but I couldn't tell you which is which.
In electricity, it's represented by ohms.
True.
It is. Yeah.
True.
Okay. That's about all I know.
Good. Okay. So nothing.
Yeah.
I played Resistance 3, personally. It was the only one that I've played. But that one, like, is kind of a soft reboot because it changes the perspective from, like, an American soldier man named Nathan Hale to a Sopranos one-off character named Joseph Capelli. Oh. So it's like a new guy in a new setting, and it's 5 years after the second one. So it's fresh enough. Like, there's a big enough gap in time, and the change of point of view is enough. Like, I never really felt lost. Yes, Jamie, you've got your hand up on webcam. Illuminated solely by your laptop screen and a camera for some reason, and a candle for some
and
reason.
I got a candle.
I've got the mood set right, but I remember playing on the GameCube. a game where you like wake up in a mental hospital and you have psychic powers. And
System Shock, no? Or
no, it's not System Shock.
No. I know which one you're talking about.
I borrowed
though.
It from either you or Matt. Your friend Matt. Yeah.
Matt, yeah. He definitely had it.
Really cool. I thought it
it's
might
not,
be
nice. It's not Resistance, though.
I think Resistance is a...
No, site. Yeah. I'll find it. I'll find it.
Okay. Somebody pull up the clip. Yeah. Anyway, the Resistance games, Resistance 3 at least, fantastic shooter. I had a lot of fun with that. I remember
Second Sight. Second Sight was the name of the game.
Oh, nice. Gee, that was quick.
Yeah.
So the Resistance games were made by Insomniac before they were being moved to the Marvel Plantation to make Spider-Man games. They made Spyro, which is great. We have an episode. And Ratchet and Clank, which is great. And we have an episode. So you can check those out. Ratchet and Clank has a very wacky weapon system where they have a lot of kind of bizarre, goofy guns that level up through use, which is how they get upgraded to get, like, they basically evolve like Pokemon to become more complex and kind of crazier. Resistance 3, at the very least, also does this. So your weapons have, like, a separate EXP gauge and they all level up. Cool. So they, as you use them, they get upgrades. So the SMG gets, like, smart targeting bullets, and as it's like upgrades, you could just like get this entire screen where it can like target multiple headshots and fire like these little seeking bullets. Wow. The revolver shoots out like a sticky thermite grenade with a button on the side that makes it ignite, which I know has been used in other games since. I'm trying to think.
If you do not use it, do you in fact lose it? Or
yes,
okay.
Actually,
okay. You can actually lose them? No, or are you just...
Resistance 3 is also doubles as a sexual education Blu-ray.
Okay.
but yeah, so like the weapons like upgrade themselves as you use and get like more and more kind of zanier and get different kind of like crazy backup things. I know in Rage and Rage 2, the revolver also has the sticky bomb that shoots out of the bottom of it that you can like snap your fingers and detonate, which I think... I don't know when Rage came out. I played both Rage and Resistance when I lived in Toronto, but I don't know what order they came out in, so I don't know who invented the revolver with the sticky bomb on it. Regardless, it's a great fucking idea.
I forgot you lived in Toronto.
Rage came out in 2010. Resistance Fall of Man came out in 2006.
There we go. Okay.
We were just young lads. We were like 15, 16 back then.
In 2006,
We were all... 15.
Little babies. So anyway, I do recommend the games. They're all still on PS3. No remasters, no re-releases, no nothing for some fucking reason. So if you've got a PS3 that, unlike me, can still read discs, you should check them out. I think you could probably definitely get all three for like $11.
If you've got one with the PT demo on it, then you're rich.
Yeah, exact. Buy gold, and also, like, obviously inflation's going to get us all. So buy gold, and also PS4s with the PT demo on them. That's the only thing that retains its value is the PT demo. I can't believe we Nixon got rid of the PT standard, dude.
My retirement plan is to troll through garbage dumps looking for hard drives that people threw out in between 2009 and 2011 containing Bitcoin wallets. Yeah,
of course.
That's how I'm going to retire, so I'll let you guys know when I find one.
Speaking of PS3, I forget if we talked about this on the show, but was it the U.S. Army or the U.S. Navy that used, like, 2,000 PS3s, hooked them all together, and it was cheaper to buy all those PS3s than to make a supercomputer? So they made a supercomputer basically out of thousands of
old PS3s.
Yeah. Let me look that up.
It does sound familiar. I feel like you've told me that fact before. Like, I don't know if we mentioned it on the show.
It sounds familiar at the very least, yeah. Anyway, Resistance, top tier, recommended. And also, before we begin, I'd like to propose a new drinking game for the audience, because while I did like looking this one up, I'd like to propose the new game where anytime Pete gets cucked into talking about prehistoric aliens, please take a drink.
You're the prehistoric alien guy. You're Greek, just like the ancient aliens guy that we were talking about the other day.
I know, yeah.
So, To close the loop, it was 1,760 Sony PlayStation 3s, and it was the U.S. Air Force made a supercomputer out of that.
Yeah, okay. I put a picture of it in the Discord for you, too.
I always kind of forget, because you're like the U.S. Army and the U.S. Navy, and originally my head is just like, isn't that the same thing? It's just the ground guys and the boat guys.
Why did they hate each other?
Why didn't the U.S.?
They're different.
Why didn't the U.S. Air Force just use the Eagles at the beginning of the fight? Because that's...
Why didn't the Air Force just take the ring to Afghanistan?
Like, yeah, why didn't they just take why did the Eagles carry SEAL Team 6 to Osama's compound? Let's talk about the friggin'. Let's talk about resistance lore, huh? I feel like we haven't gotten into it yet.
Sorry.
Yeah. The aliens du jour for this one are the Chimera. They're a species of alien presumed to be from another planet. They lived kind of all over the Earth alongside the dinosaurs. However, they abandoned the planet sometime between 65 and 60 million years ago after a brutal war with a different and unknown and since disappeared alien species. The war culminated in a catastrophic event that eventually created the crater that we blue-pilled normies believe was created by a meteor at the in the Yucatan Peninsula who wiped out the dinosaurs. Mm-hmm. Actually, it was some sort of alien weapon, and the devastation, clearly they kind of, it's like a Pyrrhic victory. They won the war, but the devastation by whatever they had detonated exactly caused the Chimera. They were just like, hey, so this project that we had started here on Earth kind of fucked it up. There's a big old hole in Mexico. We should probably jet for a bit.
What type of victory was that? That sounded cool.
A Pyrrhic victory?
Pyrrhic victory.
Yeah, named after Pyrrhus, yes. Who I think was said to be the son of Achilles, I want to say.
But... yeah, it's when you basically, at any cost, you win the victory basically on a pile of the bodies. It's the Soviet strategy. It was also like a Pyrrhic victory.
Yeah,
don't matter as long as you win.
Yeah, the Zap ran again, like, I knew each killbot had a preset kill limit of 10,000 people, so I sent wave after wave of my own men at them.
So, since they're unknown, I'd like to propose a Lore Boys canon, that the Chimera were actually just at war with the dinosaurs, and then the debris that had, like, from the crater that blocked out the sun and wiped out 70% of life on Earth was just like, oh no, this is actually a massive mistake, we should get the fuck out of here.
Yeah.
They had gone too far, so they dipped out.
Dipped out to space, you're saying?
Back to their home world, which we don't really know where the Chimera are from. They are from some other planet, apparently.
Why even get into a fight with dinosaurs? Like what kind of mobilized defense are they putting up? Yeah.
That's Lore Boys canon, because it's not written in who they were fighting on Earth. Some unknown species that they clearly wiped out entirely, and... I mean, there's no dinosaurs in the Resistance games.
It's not like the Roman phalanx, like the turtle shell shield formation. It's like the ankylosaur shield formation. It's the same thing. They just got one guy with a club at the back, basically.
Yeah. Just like swinging it around.
This may be more for our Discord people, but the Chimera have ruined planets, just like our very own Chimera, Saucy Chimera. Who anime shit posts and posts vague enough shit, and then when people ask him what he's talking about, he either gets mad or insults them. So that's how he ruins planets. But one of our favorite, longest patrons, right?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
So
I did look it up. Is one of the two people who upped their patron donations this month. Okay. So
thanks,
shout
Saucy.
Out to Saucy.
Thank you.
Also Squilliam. So.
We'll get to your other request soon. We just did Ape Escape. So let us get
at
to
some point in the next 1,000 days.
And maybe check the bonus content this week, Saucy. Maybe there's a little tidbit in there for you.
A little nugget. Yeah. So prior to leaving Earth after blowing up Mexico, they set up the Chimeran Tower Network with the intention of just kind of waiting as long as they needed for the whatever atomized crust of the Earth to settle down so they can grow plants again.
Mm-hmm.
These towers were hundreds of feet tall and probably probably about a foot, like a football field, I suppose, like hundreds of feet, not like.
That's something
not incomprehensibly huge. Like it's just a big old tower.
Okay.
And they serve several functions. They can communicate between other towers on the network. However, they seem to be like Christmas lights, where if one goes down, everybody on the wire goes down.
Not
the best. So like one tower burns out and you're just like, oh, fuck. Yeah.
It's not a parallel circuit. It's a something else circuit.
Series. It's AT&T. Yeah. Boom. Take that, AT&T.
Yeah, fuck you.
Take that. I'm sure people hate them. It's, what is this, Time Warner service? Boom, got him.
What is this, Comlink?
Yeah, yeah. You didn't tell me this was the Verizon network, Pete, that that these chimeras were running.
What is this? Rogers, Telus?
Yeah, all of them. Hate them all.
If we keep saying them all, I think we get more laughs.
The towers can also kind of control the climate in their immediate area to make it more hospitable to the chimera. They like it cold. They like it crisp. They're an AC race. One thing. So in the third game, you go to one of the chimeric towers or the chimeran towers in New York City, and New York is completely frozen. It's all snowed out. Basically, is what that looks like. So they like it cool.
All right.
Most importantly, they also serve as like military bases too. But most importantly, they can create a bridge between the chimeran planet and Earth. So the third game is all about stopping this wormhole from being opened.
Okay.
And thanks to a mysterious force called the game's script, many of the towers were built where major human cities would end up tens of millions of years later. And not to nitpick, but this is really fucking goofy, because thanks to plate tectonics, this means that some of the towers, like, realistically would have needed to have been built underwater, or in some cases in like the molten mantle of the Earth itself, because as the like 65 million years ago, the Earth looked completely different. The continents were in different places, and as the tectonic plates and the continents move, chunks of the continental plate get subsumed and melted back into magma underneath the rest of it. So like parts of the land, it's just like, oh yeah, like where was like somebody find out where the fuck was New York City 60 million years ago. Because I'm pretty sure it was molten rock, because I know that at least chunk of New York, North America, was like an inland sea and stuff like that. And like Europe was a gigantic archipelago of islands. So the one that comes out of London is just like, oh yeah, we're just going to build this underwater.
So the Hudson Valley apparently has dinosaurs or dinosaur fossils. So
whoa.
New York, at least, is potentially realistic.
Okay.
Wow. And you said not to nitpick earlier. You know what nitpicking's from? The etymology? It's from when you get lice.
Picking nits. Yeah.
Yeah, it's getting little bugs out of your hair.
But I find it doesn't line up perfectly. I always thought nitpicking was like digging into the details for like, why are you doing it? Like to a fault. But nitpicking seems like a good thing, because you would want to pick all the nits out, right? Shave your head and get straight to the point? Like
maybe it's like, hey, leave me my own nits. Let me pick my own nits, dude.
Okay, because the nits of the game are the flaws in the story. So why are you picking their nits? They could pick their own nits. Okay, I see.
Yeah, so yeah. As nitpicking inherently requires fastidious attention to detail, the term has become appropriated, so meaning has changed, to describe the practice of meticulously searching for minor, even trivial errors in detail.
Yeah. It's because we're basically just wimps now, because having nits wasn't the big deal back then.
Yeah. You know, we had bigger problems.
This is a Lore Boys English Hour for you. Yeah. I don't know if you guys watched, and this is a tangent. I don't know if you guys watched. I posted one clip of it, or maybe I posted the full clip in the memes channel in the Discord. But it's called At Home with English, and it is this fantastic, like very surreal, like late Teletoon, like at like 3 a.m. or whatever, or not Teletoon, but Adult Swim.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, like one of those like surreal shows, I guess, and it's on YouTube. But it's basically just like a guy with these very like casual, like short scenes where he's clearly just like teaching common English phrases. Where he's just like, oh, have you done your laundry today? I tried on these new pants, and these ones are too big. But it's got like the Oblivion, Elder Scrolls Oblivion overlay over it, and it's got Oblivion music set to it. But then every so often, one of the sketches will switch to like the combat music. So there's one where he's like, he's trying to move all these chairs, and there's two characters. There's a voice off screen, and then there's the guy who like is starring in it or whatever, and he's like trying to move all these chairs, and then like his boss comes in, and like, as soon as his boss comes in, the combat music starts, and then he like ends up getting fired or like quitting and getting fired. Like,
oh man!
If you're looking to just eat an edible one time, JB, and watch something that'll make you laugh, I think it's very fun.
You mentioned the Oblivion combat music, and it just starts playing in my head immediately.
Yeah.
Ethan, those are like 300 hours well spent.
Not to tangent too far, Ethan told me a story last night. So I used to live in his place, and I used to always hide like my THC habits from his parents, but found out that his mom, with some friends, did an edible over the weekend.
Oh yeah!
Thought she went blind because it was dark out.
I was crying laughing at dinner last night. Oh, it was so funny. She's like, because she had some friends from when she was young over, like from like high school over, basically.
Okay,
right?
Yeah.
And so like they were having a good time. Her friend brought some edibles, and like she has horses, so she has to like go feed and water them at times or whatever, right? And like her friends had come down. They did the edibles. Their friends had come down with her, and they all had their like phones for like flashlights because it's dark on the farm at night. And it was a cloudy night when they were out, so it was really dark. But my mom like all her friends leave while she's still working, so then she leaves and she doesn't have a phone, and she's just describing, she's like standing there in the dark going like, oh my god, I'm blind, oh my god, I'm blind, and just like blinking a lot trying to see, and then ends up like she's just walking like forward super slowly saying that to herself until she sees literally the side of the barn in front of her, and she goes, oh okay, I'm good.
That's the most
stereotypical like you got too stoned story, right?
Yeah.
She was super into Super Tramp. I feel like there was a time when she might have been more into the edibles, but way back when.
Yeah.
No, she straight up told me she smoked weed when she was in high school. So yeah. I remember like when I was still like very young, before I'd ever tried marijuana, probably like 12 or whatever, I distinctly remember my mom being like, yeah, well, everybody smokes weed like sometimes, you know, like, and just be like in a conversation to somebody else, right? But I remember just being there, just be like, oh. I guess so, huh? Just being a child and a sponge, just like
core
picking up
memory
on that.
Unlocks. Yeah. Then Jamie offers you a joint when you're 17, and it's like, well, yeah, everybody does it. Yeah.
Everybody does it. Mom said so.
Another, I guess, a core memory for the lore here would be that after losing the war against the dinosaurs, which is canon. Or winning
lost
the war,
the war
but barely.
I'm sorry. Yes. Having to resort to scorched earth tactics, like mutually assured destruction to get rid of big lizard.
Yeah, so over time, the Chimera became much, much weaker. And in 1908, they finally became desperate enough to send a probe back to Earth to see if they could resume the conquering or the terraforming or whatever it is they wanted to do. So they waited 60 million years. They were just like, no, can't do it. They were just like, I don't know. I'm not ready for Big Lizard again, dude. Like,
yeah. What if we go back and Big Lizard's still there?
Yeah, exactly. What if blocking out the sun didn't work? Is all. So they sent a probe back to Earth. The probe would go down and detonate over the Tunguska River in Russia on June 30th, 83 years before I was born, in a modified for the game version of the Tunguska event. The real-life Tunguska event basically comes as like a prefab, super cool sci-fi setup. Around 7 a.m. local time, on June 30th, 1908, a celestial body of some kind, so a meteor, a comet, or an asteroid, something, estimated to be about 200 feet across, traveling an estimated 60,000 miles per hour, came through the Earth's atmosphere at a weird angle, boiled, and then exploded somewhere between 3 and 6 miles above the ground.
Oh.
The explosion was close to 1,000 times more powerful than the nukes used in World War II, and flattened, and this is like an incomprehensible number, it flattened, and if you guys want to look at the first spoiler image, you can see.
Oh, I think I just posted the same picture as Googling this.
Yeah. It stripped off the leaves and flattened an estimated 80 million trees. Over an area of 2,150 square kilometers.
Whoa.
So for reference, the distance between Toronto and Montreal is 531 kilometers.
Wow. What's the distance between New York and Chicago? If you're such an
Google
expert.
It.
Okay.
Yeah. What if the train is traveling at 140 kilometers an hour and there's
and
another train traveling
at 60,000 miles?
Yeah.
So yeah, it's like an incomprehensible explosion, and the fact that it happened in 1908, very much in the middle of nowhere, means it is hard to understand. So back then, and even now, this part of Siberia was sparsely populated, but nomads in the area report that like maybe three people have been killed, and I kind of love this. It's like, I cannot imagine what it might have been like to have been like, I don't know what the tech tree level of a Russian nomad in 1908 was, but like, can you imagine being atomized? Or like, you just hear that like your hunting buddy that you like just killed, you killed a deer with him last week, right?
Yeah.
And the next news you hear about him from like whatever the teepee that he lives in is just like, oh yeah, no, by the way, whatever, like Vlad was atomized by the brightest light that has ever been seen by human eyes. And you're just like, yeah, okay, I guess hell is real. A rock came from the sky and blew up. And also, 2,150 square kilometers is a big fucking area.
Yeah.
That's a big old chunk of Russia that to have the trees all blown down.
New York to Chicago.
2,100, you said?
2,150 square kilometers, yeah.
New York to Chicago is just under 14,000 football fields. That's a lot of Sunday games, am I right?
Yeah.
2,100, how far is that on? Is that like across all of the United States yet?
Well, it's square, right? So it would be what, like 100 times, 100 kilometers long by 20-ish? So, yeah, you're like... It's like maybe like draw a line from Montreal to Ottawa, mm-hmm. or maybe a little less, and maybe like halfway, and then like make a square from that line essentially.
Yeah. Oh, that's like huge, big, but huge. that's still quite big, but that's not like country big. Okay.
Well, no, but just think about the fact that driving to Ottawa from home is like 95
I'm
minutes,
trying to put it into terms that someone who's not from Canada would get. That's
233,591 football fields.
There you go.
Oh, now they know.
Yeah.
it was a lot. And also, like, that's why I put it in the other bits. Like, 80 million trees were blown down, which is just like a number so huge. You're like, huh, that's crazy. And this is like the most powerful explosive on Earth in 1908 was probably like, I don't know, like the emperor's favorite firework somewhere in China at that point, right? Like, there's like the atomic bomb had not been invented. They had like artillery, ship cannons, I guess. Like, but that's like a solid chunk of metal. But yeah.
I was nothing near this scale.
I was just curious. I was like, how much toilet paper does a human use in a lifetime? And I wanted to transfer that to trees. It's 634 miles of toilet paper. And it takes one tree to make 1,500 rolls. So it's 31 million trees to make 1 year's supply for everyone in the U.S. So you know what? You could wipe people's ass for almost 2.5 years with what was blown down there in all of the U.S.
I was gonna ask, yeah. How much toilet paper was wasted in the Tunguska event is my question. So lore-wise, the probe that had exploded contained that and caused the Tunguska event contained the Chimera virus, as well as some other genetic material, basically. This would spread like through these small kind of beetle-like parasites that humans eventually called crawlers. So these very small beetles would bite people and infect them with the Chimera virus comparable to the plague's fleas or COVID's soup bats, basically. Oof. That's like that's the bridge animal there.
Right.
The chimera virus infects and mutates various species into like kind of different kinds of organisms. The most basic being the soldiers of the chimera, which are pictured below. So you guys can check the next spoiler image. And then I guess describe it for the listeners in case no one has played Resistance. Describe the default alien monster soldier from the Resistance games.
They got six eyes, which kind of wrap around their head, like where your sunglasses would go, where your sick, like, Oakley speed shades would go, like,
yeah,
back,
yeah, yeah,
back towards
exactly.
the ears. Presumably, so they can't be flanked, or can't be flanked as easily. They don't have lips, no lips, and they don't have molars. They just have the front canines there, so.
They got the, like, predator carnivores. Teeth kind of thing.
Yeah, exactly. No molars. Yeah. And he's got a gun.
They're humanoids, too, yeah. Like, they've bipedal. Got, like, big scary head, but look mostly like a human except for the eyes and teeth, I guess, kind of.
Yeah.
They are hybrids. The chimera virus, this is an infected person. This guy would have been bitten by a beetle at some point.
Okay.
This guy would have eaten his beetle soup, basically. That's why
beetle,
he's a monster.
Do the beetle have the same eyes, I wonder?
They look like cicadas, sort of. Oh. So it's like a big, kind of like big angular fly.
Yeah. There's a big cicada on the picnic table the other day. I'm looking at the cicada. I'm like, that's a fucking huge bug. And then my dog just like jumps up on the table and eats it. We're like, no.
Yeah, no,
we're
no kidding. Like,
so
anytime Jamie tells a story about an animal, it's always then ice ate.
Yeah, ice got skunk this week too. Yeah, so my apartment smells like skunk because the dog found a skunk at 2 a.m. So lots of fun stuff here.
Yeah. Sorry. So the 1908, the asteroid crashes. What? How many years later does it take to get to these like beetles biting people, turning them into the monsters? Because this.
It starts immediately. Okay. The rest of the episode is about like how the Chimera virus spreads, basically, because it is the events leading up to the game.
Yeah, is this like a World War One cheater?
No, because I mean, I do need to get into it. Actually, never.
Yeah, okay.
That's spoilers for the episode. World War One happens normally.
Okay.
Oh, okay.
So there you go. Because this happens in 1908 in the middle of fucking nowhere, and thankfully. Whatever his name is, the guy having his sandwich does kill Franz Ferdinand.
Okay, cool.
Yeah. So, later on, after infecting enough people, the crawlers were no longer needed. The virus had mutated enough to transfer through bites from what are called feral chimera, which are they're just resistance brand zombies. So there's like certain enemies in the game. It's like the swarm enemy. They run around on all fours. They're skinny, kind of humanoid people. They bite people, turn them into other chimera, and they mutate that way. So the mites were the original, the way of like, kind of like they're a crop duster basically. They just like spread it out.
Cool. Okay, cool.
Yeah. Early reports came from Siberian nomads of large six-eyed monsters, but due to things like the Russian Revolution and the First World War, there wasn't a ton of bandwidth left over to follow up on Bigfoot sightings from like from Siberian nomads who had seen a scary monster out in the woods. Hey. This is like
I saw great, bright light. After that, Ivanov gets back up after falling dead.
That's six yellow eyes. Yes. It's like, I mean, the photographer literally just killed the emperor. I have way bigger things to worry about, man. Like, I don't know what the fuck is going on.
you are now a Russian soldier. Go to Western Front. Can I have a rifle? No, there's not enough rifles.
Something that reminded me of Bigfoot, of like finding a monster in the woods or whatever. And there's a guy who got banned on Twitch this week because he ran in front of his camera and then off screen, but like completely naked. So I was like, what? So I checked the Twitter for, like, this ban, and there's just a picture of him, like, running, and you just see, like, the back end of him, of his butt, and he's, like, blurry, and it looks just like...
I love that Bigfoot photo, man, yeah.
That's amazing.
Yeah. At work, because, like, it's not even turnover at work in some cases for some departments. It's just, like, washout, like the fucking SEALs.
Yeah.
And for the people who are still there, we've got like central prod. It's like, hey guys, we created this group so you guys all get to know each other if you want, because I know like not everybody comes into the office. You can post a picture of yourself and like so people know who you are. And for me, I have not posted my own picture yet, but I was just like, I'm just gonna upload that like Polaroid photo of Bigfoot.
You
like,
should.
Get out of here. I don't go to the office and I don't work with prod. I work with the effects team, right? So right. I don't see any of the people in my department. So, after the Siberian nomads started reporting pictures of some naked Twitch streamer, later on in 1920, this is a real thing that did happen, so this is, again, like, slightly modified cool history. Later in 1920, a mineralogist named Leonid Kulik, who is also a real guy, led an expedition to investigate the area around the Tunguska event, so it did take them 12 years to go out and investigate, like, the 80 million blown up trees, because it is an area of concern, I think. So in real life, he showed up, interviewed the locals, and sadly left without finding any evidence of a meteorite, which is why we know that it vaporized in the air. There is no crater, and there is no, I guess, detectable meteorite material for a guy in the 1920s. Like, there's definitely because there's, of course, the evidence of the KPG impact that killed the dinosaurs is that there's like a layer of iridium around the entire planet. So we know that a large object with iridium, which is rare on Earth, crashed in to the planet and spread out a very like even and thin layer of the same material around the entire world. Whereas this one didn't really leave much because it's vaporized within the atmosphere. That's also why the area that it destroyed is so fucking huge, because none of the energy that it released was transferred into the ground, which is the same reason they detonate an atomic bomb in the sky is for extra The air puts up a hell of a lot of resistance. Yeah, the atomic bomb like dropped over Hiroshima blew up in the air because it does more damage that way, because you lose so much energy if you drive it straight into the ground, basically.
Yeah.
It absorbs a bunch of it.
The air gives up a whole lot less what, Peter? Resistance?
Balls of man.
I will say, I looked up just a small tangent here. I did look up Leonid Kulik because he said he's a real guy, and that sounds interesting. Jamie posted
I have a little bit about him if you want. Because I did put in his real bio before his game bio.
I just thought it was, he's got fan art. Like, one of the top Google search
what
results
the fuck?
Is fan art of him in front of like glowing crystals and a weird meteorite.
He looks like Sam Hyde, man.
Yeah,
he does. God damn it.
I'll post a picture for Jamie of just the man, I guess. But like, if this isn't the most stereotypical like Russian mineralogist in like early 20th century, like I don't know what it is.
He's got a finely coiffed beard, like round eyeglasses.
He's got the Trotsky glasses.
Yeah. I posted the Bigfoot photo of a gamer above too, if you want to see a naked man's butt. But
I was just about to comment on that's great. I also like how he has the like semi-transparent gray like 1 liter jug of water, which is like
he's like in his room, honestly.
Yeah, exactly.
He probably had to
his
pee.
Room is also, but that big jug of water is like a health lifestyle for some people, where it's just like, yeah, man, I'm into fitness, and all they do is drink a liter of tap water out of that exact jug. Like, you've definitely seen it.
I think on Twitch it's more about not leaving your computer, but
yeah. I mean, it's probably much more of that. So anyway, in real life, Kulik, who was very cool, he showed up, interviewed the locals, didn't get any meteor evidence, but later on he did fight the Nazis in World War II. Sadly, he was kidnapped by them, and he died of typhus in a prison camp in the 40s.
Oof.
And we'll find out a little bit more information about the Bimyobame Kulik after the break.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/achieve today.
Wow.
Nice.
Yeah.
What you're hearing are the sounds of people everywhere putting on Bombas socks, underwear, and T-shirts made from absurdly soft materials that feel like plush clouds. Yeah, that plush. And the best part? For every item you purchase, Bombas donates another to someone facing homelessness.
Bombas. Big comfort for everyone. Go to bombas.com/ACAST and use code ACAST for 20% off your first purchase. That's bombas.com/ACAST. Code ACAST.
Welcome back, everybody. So now that we know about real-life Kulik and his tragic end, Game Kulik actually disappears during the expedition with his entire team. It's never really found out what happens to him, but it is theorized that he fell victim to the Chimera or to the virus itself. So either the mutants or they became the Chimeric soldiers that we talked about earlier. One page of his journal is found where they describe like, oh yeah, man, like that's all kind of fucked up. We're going to head out soon. And also his camera are discovered in a nearby nomad village.
I know it's been 20 years, but I guess we'll go, you know, investigate that thing that the locals have been talking about for two decades now.
Yeah. Thanks to Russian isolation and limited comms technology at the time, the fact that the Chimera were infecting and slaughtering every living thing in Russia went pretty much under the radar for the rest of the world, and not only because that expression didn't exist, because radar was invented in 1935.
True.
The war was going...
By the British. There.
Sorry?
By the British.
By the British, yeah.
In it. Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Now, do you think they needed a new expression or some way to detect aircraft at night? Like, why would they have invented radar?
Because they need the expression, yeah.
Oh, yeah, of course.
People kept saying, like, man,
the Oxford,
you know,
English Dictionary was what needed, like, they needed a controversy or something.
Yeah. Oh, man, I really didn't notice that thing. I wish there was an easier way to describe the sentimentality and emotions I'm feeling right now.
Hang on, Lewis, I've got me an idea. So the war was going very poorly for the Russian army up until Dr. Fyodor Malikov developed a vaccine for the Chimera virus using some DNA that was recovered from the point of the explosion at Tunguska. So they did send expeditions afterwards. So there was some DNA that they managed to recover and use for a vaccination.
Vaccines from them Russians. We know how that goes, right, boys?
Oh, yeah, exactly.
I mean,
art imitates life is how we all have our Russian vaccines, right?
Yeah, I mean, vaccines have been around for a while. I guess DNA was around for a while too, but I can't imagine the means of collecting DNA was very sophisticated in the 1920s and 30s.
It's kind of sci-fi, but whatever. Like, they sent the guy to the meteor explosion site, and he picked up some alien goo and decided to, I don't know, put it into a cow, and the cow was fine. So
it's the guy with the bean plants who figured it out, because he figured out dominant recessive genes through bean plants just by mating them together. I forget
Swiss
his name.
Swiss researcher Friedrich Meischer.
Is that the bean plant guy?
I don't know. That's the guy who discovered DNA.
Oh, okay. I remember in university in biology, they taught us about the bean plant DNA guy, and he was the first one to be like, oh, well, like recessive genes show up like 25% of the time. Well, maybe he's like the dude who did recessive versus dominant genes, actually.
Yeah, I was listening
to... He's the guy who, like, proved the existence of gingers, I guess. He got the Nobel Prize in Switzerland.
Yeah. Yeah, it seems like he was a doctor and or chemist. Mm-hmm. I don't know if he was a bean guy, per se.
I think he was
you could be a doctor and a bean guy, don't get me wrong. I'm just
saying. Malikov, absolutely a bean guy, at the very least. Or at least could intuit, like, the... He had the wise mind of a bean man.
Yeah.
Easy. Easy. Just... Sorry. Ethan immediately just like, oh, that's kind of losers. Because Malikov, whether or not he knew what DNA was, he knew how to make himself a vaccine. So the Chimera virus and the Chimera DNA are different things, because if we remember, they had been weakened in their battle with the dinosaurs. Yeah. So they sent the virus to basically just like, look, if we could just mutate the local flora and fauna, they can do our fighting for us, because we're just a bunch of, whatever, decrepit old men in our rocking chairs on our foreign planet,
right,
launching meteors at the Earth that for some reason we still desire, right?
Right.
They've got all the good seawater.
That's true.
Ours dehydrates us too much, and theirs dehydrates us less, so we're going to take over.
I wonder if it's like the only way they can reproduce. And again, this is just like a lore boys canon, I guess, that I'm just spitballing here. It's like the only way that this species could reproduce is by infecting like existing life with material. So it's like they can't create more without taking like living people on their home planet. Like they can't create new life, right? So maybe they're just looking for... I'm trying to think of what would make Earth of all planets special. And as far as we know, it's life, right? Like sophisticated life, I guess.
Yeah.
So,
it's not sophisticated life, unless you mean complex, like organism-wise. Because like dinosaurs,
yeah,
despite having kind of simple weapons, are still complex life, right?
Yeah, that's what I meant. Just like bigger than single-celled organisms.
Yeah.
So like the guys whose names I've forgotten, the aliens there,
Chimera.
Chimera. I want to say cryptids. I'm like, I know it's not cryptids.
Yeah, no.
The Chimera.
The Bigfoot thing was a joke. He's a cryptid.
The Chimera keep coming here because they are trying to create more life, and maybe the experiments with the dinosaurs failed because they like cold, but dinosaurs like hot. I don't know.
Yeah, they like do. Dude said, yeah. It might be, the sea is too salty for us, but it might be just salty enough for them. And they don't call it the sea, they call it the G, like Gatorade. And
okay, yeah,
yeah, and they drink it up, and it's like the perfect amount of electrolytes and salt and all the rest of it.
Yeah,
it's great.
Yeah, a bunch of hungover college frat Chimera were just like, they needed to get to work in 2 hours, so they had to conquer the planet to get some of our seawater just to recharge. Yeah.
Michael Jordan drinking seawater and then passing out under a basketball hoop.
That's the closest thing to clam flavored G Fuel yet.
Yeah. Oh yeah, G Fuel, crunch at us, dude. We want the Lore Boys clam, dude. The Lore Boys clamato, 100%. The Caesar G Fuel is gonna happen. So now that like science TM had recognized the difference between the viral Chimera strain and the DNA recovered to create the vaccines, the OG Chimera are now called pure Chimera. So the virus itself is like a modified version of themselves. They whatever they crop dusted us with their dandruff to create horrible monsters out in the Russian wilderness.
Sure.
Amazing. Yeah. After some early tests, it was shown to prevent infection from the crawlers, so you could get bit by the fleas and not turn into a monster. However, over the next few years, tens of thousands of Russian soldiers were vaccinated. This helped for a while, but some concerning side effects began to emerge. Soldiers began to call Dr. Malakhov father, which that...
Just out of nowhere.
Yeah, exactly. The control group wasn't doing that.
Like, they'd ask...
The saline solution weren't calling him dad. So it's like, fuck.
The vaccinated group started calling them father. The control group didn't. But both groups, surprisingly, did start asking Dr. Malakhov to pull their hair and spank them. So.
Oh, yeah. from a separate Russian Empire study, but that doesn't result. Right. So eventually, after calling him father, 90% of the vaccinated soldiers went AWOL and began calling themselves the Cloven, which is the final spoiler image that I have there. The Cloven are really more of like a mind-wiped like race of humans. They look kind of mutated, they kind of look like vampires, but they're not the same kind of six-eyed alien monsters that the Chimera soldiers are.
Ears.
They look like zombies, I guess. Like,
yeah, they're zombies with guns. They're a little bit more generic. They serve like they're the third party army. They're like the Flood from Halo, basically. They appear in Resistance Retribution, the PSP game. So they weren't in the first game. I don't think they were in Resistance 2 either, but they did pop up as just like a... Whatever. The Flood from Halo.
They have enough dignity to still wear clothes and shoes and shoot guns, but they got their face looks like a little more unhinged, like a zombie, for sure. Yeah.
They either have the dignity to still wear clothes, or they don't have the wherewithal to have taken off their clothes.
Right.
I don't know which.
Yeah. I think it's probably a combination of the two, because I think both the socks I'm currently wearing have holes in the bottom where I can kind of feel the floor if I shuffle my feet back and forth in my chair right now.
I'm not wearing socks, but I got a big hole in my knee.
Nice. Okay. Okay. Jamie, any
I'm not wearing pants, but I got a big hole in my butt.
You're wearing your shorts backwards, so the strings are hanging out.
I actually am wearing my shorts backwards. I was doing a fun motion earlier.
Don't you fucking lie to us. You're wearing your shorts backwards, you son of a bitch.
I was wearing my shorts backwards, and on camera earlier, I was just, like, grabbing them, like, reins from behind and pulling them for the boys. You know?
Turn me on, personally.
Yeah, Jamie is role-playing, like, the housewife and, like, tying the apron behind his back, essentially. So.
Yes. Before I get my Domino's pizza that I ordered yesterday. Yeah.
If I had to guess, Jamie, I would say you do not own an apron.
You're right. I own a. I bought an oven mitt recently because my old one got. For a while, I was using a T-shirt.
So folded towels do work. That's fine.
They do work.
I had an old band T-shirt that was too ratty to use anymore, and I would just use it to pull things out of the oven. Yeah, it was great.
This is the riveting conversation you get at the Lore Boys podcast. I bought an oven mitt the other day.
I wore it on stream. You guys can trace back to when I bought it. I bought it, I was wearing it, and you're like, why are you wearing that? And we talked about it on the call for a while. So
I don't remember that.
It happened.
Believe it.
I mean, Jamie's not showing off the what the raggedy ass like loose teeth fucking T-shirt that you've got that's like full of holes that you just say that you take McCain fries out of the oven with.
Protest the hero, yeah, it was.
Of course.
Kazaya, it had the nice big flower on the side, but I probably wore that shirt like 10,000 times, so I had to get rid of it. Yeah.
I've got a couple of shirts like that are completely... My music band shirt from 30 Rock is completely worn out. Like, the collar is barely connected. It's like the spider web of threads.
Yeah.
The collar and the white shirt. It's folded up in a pantry right now above my washing machine because it's like... If a single drop of sweat gets on this thing, it will dissolve. It is completely finished.
Plus...
But in a pinch, if your cat ever eats your oven mitts...
Yep.
Hey, you're good.
Yep. Oh, yeah, that's true. If she gets through my oven mitt. I've only got the one person.
Do you guys have aprons? Do you have aprons? Or am I alone?
I do, yeah.
You do?
I have several now that I'm married, but I did have one before I got married.
Did you?
It's a real man's apron. It was from a barbecue company, okay? So
I've got a Budweiser one, so me too, also very alpha.
When you're cooking, though, do you put it on?
No.
When I'm cooking, yeah.
I mean, yeah, if I'm doing like curry, maybe, because turmeric can stain pretty bad, but very rarely. And honestly, I should wear it more because I'm incredibly messy, just in general. Like, I'm not the messiest person in terms of like clutter around the house, but in terms of like not spilling or like when I'm I grew up on a farm, obviously. So sometimes you're working on tractors and stuff, which are very greasy. And like my ability to not touch my face when my hands are covered in grease is non-existent. Like there's nothing there. So I anytime I work, and the same thing applies to cooking. Like I will so often just like, oh, got tomato sauce on my hand. Better just like wipe it on my pants. Cause
my apron's got a beer holder in it. It's got like a holster basically. It's also got a bottle opener and then a huge, like kind of like pocket with hooks for different things. It's nice. Primarily a barbecue one, but if I'm frying something in the kitchen and I don't want to stain my shirt with oil or anything, right, like or right, like right. Like a chili with tomato paste, yeah, I'll definitely put on an apron.
I'm kind of messy too. Like whenever I get tuna sauce on my hands, I'm like, oh, I gotta wipe it on Ethan's pants. But
Jamie,
it's such
Jamie
an asshole.
With Jamie... like a totally broken down band T-shirt, yeah. Like on like an apron with the sleeves behind his back.
Yeah, yeah, I put the collar over the top. You know,
yeah, yeah. Like the rich guy at the golf course with the sweater, yeah. But you've got it on backwards with the back of the sweater.
Yeah, $120 sweater, like
Abercrombie and Fitch, just tomato paste.
The last time I made Smash Burgers, my t-shirt just smelled like a hamburger until I did my laundry. And I think that's okay. But
okay. You and I live different lives. That's all I can say.
That's the reason I put on an apron, is to prevent that from happening.
Toss it in the laundry. It all comes out in the wash. Why not?
Except for stains. They don't always come out in the wash.
I know, exactly.
Oh, well.
Anyway, what the fuck were we talking about? So now you know how we all...
We were talking about Cloven.
The Cloven, exactly. They're from the PSP game.
And how they are clothed.
There we go. Yeah. And no aprons. They are barbarians. They have their guns. They have their shoes. They have their ratty ass band t-shirts. That's the way that works.
Cool.
So eventually, despite the fact that Russia was pretty isolated in the early 20th century, the UED, or the United European Defense, realized that Russia was being maybe too quiet before like regular electronic communication. Like, you know, maybe we receive, I don't know, a telegram once per decade from the Russian Empire. How is Peter doing? How's Peter the Great doing? How are his daughters? Is that cartoon movie about his daughter done yet? Like, I want to know. Is it out? How's the bat?
Would it have been Peter the Great at this point? No.
No, it's Nicholas, I think, was the last one, actually.
Yeah, but this is after the Bolshevik Revolution, right?
We're talking 1920 now, so yes, because I think that was in
1917 to 23. Yeah,
yeah, there we go. Yeah,
so we're in the middle of the Bolshevik Revolution, actually.
Yeah, where's Nicholas? Did the photographer get you, or was it the alien mutants? Which one?
Yeah.
I think that would be funny if somehow, like, Nicholas and his family, the photographer was like a chimera monster, just like with the hood over it, just like with the light bulb flashed. They didn't know that they were going to be assassinated, despite the fact that the entire like media team was clearly monsters. So the UED eventually came into contact with the chimera. However, I like the way it was written, I guess, on the wiki. Mistakenly believed them to be a result of some sort of Russian experiment, which, considering no other country in Europe at this time had had contact with aliens, makes perfect sense.
Yeah.
Right? Like, why would the Austrian Empire, like, go show up at Russia's door in 1920 and just be like, oh, an alien? It's just clearly the Tsar has been doing something wild with alchemy or some shit, right? He's been drinking mercury.
I like the idea of, like, some people believing, like, instantly getting that it was aliens, then other people just being like, no, it's definitely... definitely just the Russians being Russians. Like,
oh
mon dieu, the Russians, they are clearly being possessed by aliens. No, chap. That's just a normal Russian over there.
Yeah, it's bad Russian science is what I believe. Like, whatever the whatever the equivalent of the guy wearing like the upside down bag of potatoes and the sandwich board, like, end is nigh. Like, he's finally vindicated, basically. Yeah. So now we can jump ahead a little bit. In December 1949, the Chimera launched a full-scale invasion of Europe. Between the First and Second World Wars, it would appear as Hitler did not actually rise to power in this universe. He is not mentioned in any of the fiction, and neither is the Second World War. Germany seems to have been, like, concerned that Russia was, like, very suspiciously silent and kind of led the charge on the whole, like, hey, whoa, we haven't received a telegram. The guy wearing the potato bag, the raving lunatic, has been kind of, like, being right way more than I would be, like, comfortable with, so we're going to, like, investigate on this end. He's not mentioned. There is no alternate World War II. It seems to have skipped over it entirely and led straight into the Chimera War in 1949. Because when the Germans went into Russia, they had crossed the border, they noticed a whole lot of weird monsters and ghost towns, and their investigation had started as far back as, like, 1938. So the Germans were really working on just, like, hadn't had a call, they were concerned with their buddy. They did the mental health check on their neighbor sort of thing.
Do you know if there's any, like, animals that get infected with this, too? Like, do you run into, like, a big Russian bear with six eyes and, like, coming at you?
In the third one, there are larger monsters. Like, there are different classes of enemy. There's, like, obviously, I showed you guys the picture of the regular Chimera soldier, which, for all intents and purposes, is man. But there are, like, little skittery zombie ones, big bugs, giant kind of, like, gorilla-shaped things. And the Chimera virus, in canon, infects multiple species. So, cool. Yes, absolutely. And maybe in the first two games that I have not played, there may be... absolutely, like, the bear monster or something. But I know that in at least one of them, there's, like, a Godzilla-sized Chimera monster as well.
Whoa. Oh, shit.
Yeah, that's, like, attacking New York City or something like that. Like,
okay. Wow. Classic Godzilla, attacking city.
Classic Chimera towers conveniently built under every major city on the planet, right? So after decades of isolation and being completely left alone because no one did their mental health checks, the Chimeran army now numbered in the millions. So this is converted humans and converted animals and other kind of like mutated sci-fi monsters. Their numbers and their advanced technology presumably brought in the same, like their numbers, and then they had the, excuse me, I read that wrong. Their advanced technology was presumably bought all, like, along in the same pod, or the knowledge of alien technology was contained within the genetic code of the virus. So once you get infected, you can be like, oh, I'm a Chimeran fisherman now, so I know how, I have like an alien fishing rod sort of thing. Like,
yeah,
a fish better than your average Siberian peasant.
Yeah, I understand that if you actually hold the fishing rod from the far end, if you hold the hook, throw the rod, fish actually love to fish. That's why they call it fishing. originally. So if you throw a rod in the water and you leave the hook in your hands, essentially, they'll grab the rod and try and reel you in, and you can reel them in from there.
Yeah,
so,
okay.
Yeah. You go fishing once, you get to eat once. You teach a fish to man, fish,
and
you
he'll eat forever.
Yeah, exactly.
So yeah, they had their alien technology. There are millions of undisturbed mutants who have just been hanging out and infecting their neighbors, basically. So the UED, the European Defense Force, quickly fell apart, which led even to former allies fighting each other along with the Chimera. So Switzerland, not so neutral when the aliens show up, was basically the consequence of that.
Okay. There you go. Finally found their breaking point.
Yeah, it was the monsters, actually.
It was monsters, yeah. It turns out monsters.
Turns out they won't break. After this, within a year, the last country left in Europe was Italy. So I guess that kind of gives you the idea of the direction that the Chimera were going in, very much.
Well,
like
they had God on their side too,
of course. Yeah, and
the wonderful leadership from Mussolini, right? From what I hear, he wasn't a bumbling clown. So
in no way. Not only the power of God, but also the power of salami, because the invasion of Europe kind of culminated with the siege of Genoa, which is not my favorite salami personally
for Mussolini. But you have heard of him, so you couldn't have been that bad, right?
What was that?
for who do you think? Mussolini. You have heard of him. So
yeah, he must have been good.
Yeah.
the siege lasted less than a month, and within the month of January in 1950, Italy was laid to ruins, but not like the cool tourist ruins, like the bad ones, basically.
Yeah, okay. Oh, they destroyed our ancient ruins. What the hell?
Yeah.
They destroyed the Colosseum.
They knocked over a bunch of pillars, which ended up being, or like the Leaning Tower of Pisa is like leaned over slightly further, or it's like the Standing Tower of Pisa now.
Yeah, yeah. The Lying Down Tower of Pisa. They just knocked it over the side, but they're still trying to make it a tourist trap.
That'd be like the Tunnel of Pisa, because you'd go through it like end to end if it fell over. Right?
Yeah, yeah, the Tunnel of Pisa. Yeah, Venice is just like basically Atlantis now. It's just fully underwater, but not so far underwater. You still see that you like stand on the top, on the rooftops of like the taller buildings. Still, you know,
and you still have the guys in the striped shirt, like people trying to propose to their wives. Going,
yeah. Six eyes, striped shirt, and a paddle. Yeah.
The Instagram photos of the six-eyed guys trying to pick up the laying Tower of Pisa off the
ground.
Oh,
yeah,
like with the perspective trick, though. They're way in front, you know? But they look like one of their Godzilla friends.
Yeah, the thing that they sent to New York.
Yeah.
So always happy to not be considered European. The UK lasted slightly longer. For a time, the Chimera, for some reason, could not cross the English Channel, which allowed... like the Parliament to evacuate 300,000 civilians to Australia and Canada, which in Canada are called Substitute Englands. By October, however, so this is from January to October, it took them almost a full year for some fucking reason to cross the English Channel. Maybe because of the English Navy, right? Because they're generally pretty good.
Yeah.
So by October, the Chimera managed to cross the channel. Whether it was by tunneling underneath it, kind of like that metro system they have, or they had like a gigantic suit jacket that they could lay over the puddle for their like hot, gigantic Chimera woman that they were courting is unknown. But so eventually...
Godzilla had got a straw and he sucked it dry.
Yeah.
It's funny because the next part is not quite unlike a gigantic monster fucking with the water. Because after they crossed the channel, the general command of the British Army was destroyed when the Chimera actually dammed and redirected the River Thames to flood the entire city of London and the bunker underneath and kill all of the people defending London at the time. So out of the 14,000 English defenders, only 200 people survived because the Chimera managed to redirect and basically use the River Thames as a weapon.
Wow.
First fire, now water. London can't catch a break.
Huh? No, exactly. What's next? A tornado? Jesus Christ. 3 for 3.
Landslide?
I think it's the Earth Nation is the last one left. Yeah, so landslide sounds right.
Yeah, Earth and air. Yeah. Tornado and a landslide, team.
Yeah. Oh, you're right.
So the UK had already been reaching out to the US for military aid, obviously. And after the fall of the UK, FDR finally got his paralyzed ass in gear and decided to help, kind of, which, yeah, I mean, like, art imitates life, right?
Yeah, exactly. The aliens finally, and for no strategically sound reason, decided to also send an asteroid at Pearl Harbor.
So thankfully, after the discovery, of a mysterious alien structure in 1934, somewhere in the U.S., the U.S. government had already been working on various projects within the SPRA, or the Special Research Projects Administration. The SBRA was created by the government with no publicly stated goal, which faced criticism for basically being just a fucking slush fund. It was just like something set up when they found a weird alien structure, but they didn't do anything until the Chimera had not just taken over Russia and all of Europe, but then also the UK. And it was like, oh, this is what all that money we were squirreling away was for. Don't worry about it, Johnny taxpayer. We would never... Yeah. Me? No, I would never lie to you.
your friendly local politician? Come on.
Yeah, your friendly local government. So looping back now, just to reconnect, just to kind of to close the loop here, the SPRA were the ones who were helping fund Dr. Malakoff's creation of the Chimera vaccine. That was one of the projects that they... I buried the lead there a little bit. That was one of the projects that they had been funding. So it was not disclosed to the public that, like, oh, this is where your tax money's going. So the criticism kind of backfired a little bit because FDR would not, in this case, actually be the president to lead the U.S. through a great war, since he lost the election to Montana Senator Noah Grace, who, to my knowledge, is not a real person. And I know FDR had 3 terms through the Second World War, which did not happen.
I right. get away from my... Sorry. That was loud for that. Sorry. Dog is hungry and knocking my mic. I'd love
Does
that...
she want some Domino's?
She wants Domino's, and she also just wants dog food. It's about time. But, I love the name Noah Grace. It sounds like someone with an accent just saying someone has no grace. Noah Grace.
You've got the Noah Grace.
The last surviving Italian.
Yeah. Yeah. Why are you sending this guy? He's got the Noah Grace.
Grace was a hardcore America First isolationist who won the 1940 election campaign against FDR, saying that he was spending too much money helping Europe fight off that whole alien threat thing. It's MAGA, baby. Let's go.
Pretty realistic, honestly. Yeah,
exactly.
Well, no, I think the States is usually all about keeping the illegal aliens out, aren't they?
Hell yeah, that's true.
Yeah, but like the... Like but
the idea that there's a Republican politician in the U.S. who is not like whose dick does not get hard for a proxy war is least believable thing about the resistance games, right.
I mean, yeah, but and then at the same time, like the fact that there's a clear and existential threat to humanity, and people are like, well, it's going to cost too much to do anything about it.
Yeah,
yeah, like,
yeah,
yep.
So he's the president now. He does die under mysterious circumstances and is replaced by the VP at some point throughout the timeline. But FDR, the guy who is just like, we should win the war against the bad guys, loses for the guy who is just like, winning the war is too expensive. And
Winning the war is too expensive. We'll win it whenever it comes here.
Yeah.
And you guys know how much boats cost? We're not going to send all our freaking guys over the ocean. The ocean's scary. Who knows what's down there?
So the SPRA, using Malakoff's vaccine research rather, would create soldiers called Sentinels under Project Abraham. The Sentinels were soldiers who were already like resilient, like this is a quote too from the game, resilient, capable soldiers with strong ties to country and honor. So they came pre-brainwashed, so you could give them their like magic juice to make them better army men.
Mm-hmm.
Sentinels were soldiers who were kind of like already partially immune to the Chimera virus. They had a good resistance to it. And thanks to a modified version, thanks to U.S. government money, now referred casually as bug juice, a modified vaccine. This would also give them kind of like video game powers. They got like a little health regeneration. They're faster. They got the endurance. Like it's the, it's the armor. It's a space marine armor for the Marines of Resistance, basically, is the bug juice, basically.
That's what when I went to camp. They used to call the fruit juices, which is probably just like colored sugar that they poured into water. They used to call it bug juice. You want to go to the lunchroom and get bug juice?
That's cute.
Yeah.
Maybe they were trying out alternative feeding programs on a group of children to see the effects that feeding them bugs would have on them.
And it turns out it makes
live in the pod, baby.
It ends up that when those kids grow up, they don't have aprons. I don't know why.
Nobody knows. Nobody can figure it out.
Interesting. Okay. One of the other things that I thought was pretty cool is the reason that the player character can pick up first aid kits and heal themselves in game is because they have been enhanced with the bug juice, with the modified Chimera vaccine. Nice. These are called eye packs, and it's just kind of like this neat little canon reason. It's like, why can you use a first aid kit? Is because it's like one of the frankly kind of mundane superpowers that you've got is it's like, oh, I can, you know, there's no sprint meter, baby. I can melee an alien to death and also like get a first aid kit pickup. It's all thanks to Malakoff's vaccine.
Baby. It's all thanks to bug juice.
Yeah, all thanks to bug juice.
You feel like sluggish in the mornings, not able to drag yourself through the morning commute? Try bug juice.
Bug juice. It's in a Capri Sun pack, but instead of like the straw that pokes in the top, it's got like the IV like
Steve Jobs actually dropped the first eye pack into a fish tank, and when bubbles came out, he sent it back to the factory for them to the engineers.
This is proof that there's not 100% bug juice in there. We got more room for bug juice in this iPhone.
We're very excited to present to you the eye pack.
Once you download our alien vaccine, you can use this thing to heal almost any wound. You could sprint forever. Yeah. Woo! People like lining up outside iPack stores.
The iPack only has one button. Everyone's clapping, going crazy.
Yeah. Well, the later eye packs, the save on plastic waste, don't even include the IV tube anymore. They just send you the new bag, but you have to keep and recycle your old charger and your old tube. And your old needle too. It's like, oh yeah, just recycle your old syringes. So originally, the people that were recruited to Project Abraham were told that they were helping cure the European influenza. Wink, wink. Sure. And all information about the Chimera was conveniently left out. A $10,000 incentive was also put in place to get more recruits in. And if you guys want to check for inflation, I don't know how much $10,000 in 1948 was compared to now, but if you could find out.
I'm so glad they took the $10,000 off the student loans.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, all I had to do was get this mysterious vaccine, and now someone paid off 8 months of interest off of a $100,000 loan that I took out. Thanks, Brandon.
Purchasing power equivalent, $122,936.
That's a lot of fucking money.
Mm-hmm.
Wow.
I would get a mysterious alien vaccine for that.
So it could have gotten rid of like a third of some American student debt, you know?
Yeah. Wow. That's almost worth it. Unless you consider the following statement. The initial tests killed all but one of the subjects, Joseph Capelli, who we talked about earlier, the protagonist from Resistance 3.
Hey, Joseph Capelli, how's it going? Yeah.
After he had survived eating all his gabagool, he was transferred to the Bryce Canyon base of operations, basically, in Utah.
Okay.
A similar serum to the one used on Capelli was created to continue the program because they were just like, okay, we did kill everybody. This guy survived. Let's keep one drop of that and go from there. Jordan Adam Shepard and Nathan Hale would both receive updated shots. Hale took the vaccine well enough to become the protagonist of Resistance 1 and Resistance 2, while Jordan Shepard mutated into a hybrid monster called Daedalus. So, out of sight and out of mind, Malakov shipped Daedalus to the SPRA station Igloo in Iceland, never to be seen again, I would assume.
Uh-huh.
Hale would go on to be the sole survivor of the Chimera attack during Operation Deliverance, setting into motion the events of the trilogy of games. So,
why Daedalus, I wonder?
We talked about Daedalus this weekend, and I can't remember why.
He flew too high, but made it.
Yeah, he was the one who... I mean, he built the labyrinth, which contained the Minotaur, right?
Yep.
He flew to the sun?
Yeah, he flew to the sun.
Icarus's dad, yeah.
Yeah. Wow. Him and Icarus flew together, and he was the one telling Icarus, like, don't fly so high, you idiot.
You dumb bastard.
Yeah. But yeah, I don't know why this guy
that is the resistance, man. That's it. Cool. That's what you get. If you want to hear the rest, play the games. I liked it a lot. It was a good call from the audience. Very good. I love the third game like enough that I'm looking into it. If I had the energy to go to GameStop, I would just like buy the first two for $6 or whatever. But yeah, that's it. I've been your host, Peter O'Donohue, PlayStation 3 exclusive. If you want more of my crap, you can check at Loreboys Podcast on Instagram, or you can follow links to the merch store, or you can join Discord. That's it.
Yeah.
And I see you guys in the request chat. I know we're getting up there on Adventure Time. I know Vampire Hunter D. We'll get to these things as we can get to them. There's only one. Even as a lone boy, I only get to go once every 3 weeks. So it takes a while to get to these things. And you know, if we miss just one cycle, that's 3 weeks. We miss two cycles, that's 6 weeks. It happens fast, where you can get to a 100-day counter. So.
There's only 52 weeks in a year and only 3 lore boys. Think about that.
Yeah. But we'll get to what we can, and I'm glad we covered one this time, so that's good.
Yeah. If you guys want to suggest a show or just have a chat with us, maybe Discord's the way to do it. There's a link in the description of this episode below if you guys want to click on that. Thanks so much for listening, everybody. If you guys want to help the show out, the best way to do so is to leave us a review or to tell your friends about us, just helping us to continue to grow. Following us on, the podcast apps that you use and all that probably helps our SEO as well. So give it a try. If you guys want to support the show financially, we do have a Patreon. Thanks again to new patron, John Bench, I think we said his name. It was Bench, but we're calling him Bench because, again, listen to the bonus content that comes out tomorrow, and you'll find out why you're going to become a judge.
To help with the SEO, too, just go into local businesses and yell, Lore Boys, as loud as I can, just to get us out there into the cultural zeitgeist.
Never yell "Lore Boys" in a crowded theater. It's illegal, though.
Yeah. And I mean, people will Google it. They'll hear you yelling about it. They'll Google "Lore Boys," and then we'll show up in more search.
Don't say it on a plane either, but local
Yeah, exactly.
Well, you can say it on a plane. Start screaming "Lore Boys."
You can say it on a plane as long as you say it in international flights when you're 12 miles out to sea. Because little known fact, none of the laws of the plane applies when you're 12 miles out to sea, because it's international waters. For legal purposes, that was a joke.
Just start breaking into the mini bar, like pushing people around and stuff. But as soon as you get close to land, you just settle down a bit. You'll be all right.
Calm back down, and you're fine. If you guys want to support the show financially, we do have a Patreon, patreon.com/theloreboys. Thanks to John Bench, Saucy, and Squilliam. For the updated/new patrons.
The other one was Drank Reliant. Drank Reliant also updated their
Drank Reliant.
Their subscription, yeah.
They always Drank remind Reliant. Me of Reliant K. Remember those people who sang about Sadie Hawkins dance? The Sadie Hawkins dance, wear my khaki pants. It's nothing better.
Nope.
No, oh, anyways.
Nope.
I'm too old. Nope. It's pop punk from the mid-nods. Enjoy.
We got a couple tiers there. You can hear the bonus content that we keep referring to. You'll get all our loser titles that I've been frantically writing down during this episode. Get to try and guess what the episode's going to be about before it comes out.
Good luck, I hope.
If you guys don't want to support the show financially, obviously we are in pretty dire straits these days. You know, it's been rocky for us. It's been a tough road. But, you know, the end is almost in sight. So, we're not quite at the production phase yet, but we are in design phase. So if you guys have good design ideas for an apron for Jamie, please send them to contact@loreboys.com. And we will, during our next mailbag, we'll have a review of all the designs submitted, and we'll end up choosing a winner. So you guys can submit as many as you want. Make them pop, make them unique. If you guys want to find a picture of Jamie out there on the internet and do like a little, you know, like a Barbie game from like the early 2000s on PC, where you could just like click and drag different clothes over Barbie.
I remember pop punk. You remember Barbie games, dude? This is
where I'm way more familiar with the Newgrounds Barbie games, so you can snap a dress onto like a a default Barbie. Yeah,
Is there anything wrong with me being a Bratz video game enjoyer, dude? Okay.
I'm throwing shade, but I know exactly what game you're talking about.
I think we talked about this on the last episode, or maybe the last bonus content, but like when I used to play the original Super Smash Brothers, I used to just like use it as a vessel to play house with my friends.
Yeah. You did talk about that. That's
they always want to fight, and I'd want to just be like, no, I'm going to be Pikachu, and this is my house on the side of the castle, okay? So
I can see why you fitted the Zomboids so well, making house.
Yeah, exactly. That's all I want, is make house with my friends.
Yeah.
So submit your design ideas. We'll pick a winner, and you will become a Lore Boy Primer. I think that would constitute a Lore Boys.
Lore Boys. The second you sat down on the chair that came with it, it broke immediately. Yeah. And then the second chair, you put a plate with a burger on it, and then that broke chair. Yeah. No, it did not matter. That thing was always destined to go back to the store.
Right now, I don't have that big of a kitchen. My entire kitchen has a tent just like unraveled in it, just drying it out to basically fold it back up and send it back to the store. Because it rained so much that
you
night.
Don't have a fucking balcony.
Yeah.
No, yeah.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.